Hello, and welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Sharakana. We invite you to join us on Thursdays at 8 p.m. for an engaging exchange with us and our special guest as we cover various topics regarding history, genealogy, and your personal family history stories. Hello, I'm Janice Gilliard.
And I'm Sharakana Feliciano. Welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Sharakana. Thanks for joining us, and don't forget, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Today, we are joined by our guest, Imorja Roberson. Imorja Roberson is a conductor, vocalist, and composer who specializes in classical and gospel music. Roberson graduated from the University of North Florida with a Bachelor of Music degree in vocal performance, where he studied with Christoph Bernacki. In 2019, Roberson served as a choir director for Kathleen Battle's The Underground Railroad, a spiritual journey tour with the DiBartolo Performing Arts Center at the University of Notre Dame. He was awarded with the 2021 Academic Freedom Award from the Department of Africana Studies and is a recipient of the 2022 Senior Jean Linz Award for his leadership that promotes a more diverse, inclusive campus community for all students. Bespoken, his most recent oratorio, highlights the experiences of the Black experience through jazz, hip-hop, and gospel.
The premiere included artists such as Anthony Walker, King Chav, Harrell D. Young, Denisha Ballard, and Grammy Award winner Lettucey. In June 2022, Roberson became the first African-American to graduate with a Doctor of Musical Arts and Choral Conducting from the Sacred Music Department at the University of Notre Dame. He is now the Assistant Professor of Music and African-American Studies at the Oxford College of Emory University. One of his interests is family history, which certainly caught our attention. Welcome to Speak On It, Imorja Roberson.
Thank you so much for having me. How are y'all doing?
Good.
So we're going to go ahead and get started. And I'd just like to say congratulations on all of your accomplishments. Very impressive. We are curious to learn, though, how you became interested in family history. Please share with our listeners how your genealogy journey started and how long have you been researching your family history?
Honestly, I just want to know if the lie was the truth. And so I got on Ancestry trying to find out my mother's biological father because she told me who he was, and I saw him for the first time like in maybe 2007, I believe, when I went to go visit his church in Fort Lauderdale. And she told me, and I was like, okay, because we have this last name Roberson, which is not her biological father's last name, but it's her stepfather's last name. My grandmother, she ensured that legacy was carried through all of her children. But needless to say, though, although that legacy was carried through relationship and also because he helped to raise her, it didn't necessarily carry through bloodline. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to figure out the truth. And that's it. And not to say that Roberson is not a father to my mother, because he was, But, you know, it's always good to know the truth, and it's always good to know that, because it also helps with health. And I kept thinking about health. What are some things that are being passed down that we just don't know about? But overall, you know, that's what started my journey. And then from there, I started adding different branches on both sides of my family. So it's been an ongoing experience.
Yes. And I can relate to that. Thanks for sharing that, because we found my mom's dad as well, and had the chance to finally meet him. We only knew like names and the picture. And so we were able to meet him a couple of years ago. Unfortunately, he passed away last year, but I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to connect and find him. It definitely felt like a sense of closure. So certainly understand that. Yeah. So from some information you shared on social media, you noted that while researching your family history, you encountered some family members that were reluctant to share information. How did you handle or respond to that?
So when I first started doing this in December 2020, I had just met one of my first cousins who his grandfather, who our grandfather, which we both shared. Mm-hmm. And that was the confirmation I needed. So that was going to be my first time meeting him, because I spoke to my uncle. He was supposed to, you know, introduce me to the family. Although it was a very Tyler Perry moment, like all there for a holiday at the dinner table, and boom, somebody and finds that they have another child and they have a stroke at the table and they die. But that didn't happen. I kept getting ghosted towards the end of our time there. So I was hitting up one of my cousins and I said, hey, I said, would you mind introducing me to, you know, my grandfather? He was like, well, he said it'll be sort of hard because my grandfather didn't know that this cousin knew the real story. Although they were in the same church, all of this stuff, same jurisdiction. So as he said, but what I will do is give you his address. So I went to his church that Sunday. And I remember I was sitting in the back, his wife, which I guess is my, well, maybe you could say step-grandmother, but
right.
His wife, she was there. And whenever my cousin and I walked in, she was like, oh, you know, here's my granddaughter and her friend that came to church this morning. So I was like, you know, cool. I'm a friend, but she doesn't know that I'm really family.
Right.
So after church that Sunday, we went to the car. And so we were talking some more, the first lady and I, and she was like, you know, what brings you to Fort Lauderdale? I said, well, I have some family here, like, know the Hawkins, Robertsons, because she knows my family. She knows them. I was like, all right, bet. So you know the Hawkins. And she was like, I wish you would have been here to meet my son, because he plays piano and, you know, he sings as well too. And in my mind, I was like, if only she knew that I was supposed to actually meet her son, but he goes.
Right. Wow.
I didn't say anything. So I said, okay. And it's funny because my cousin who's in the car listening, she was smiling because she knew the whole story already.
Yeah.
So then I said, I want to go inside, you know, talk to the pastor, just to let him know like how I felt, you know, and one thing for his sermon today. So I went in there. My grandfather, he's, you know, behind the pulpit. You know, it's like high COVID time. Things somewhat sort of not slowing down, but they're at a stagnant place. So he was trying to keep a little bit of a distance. I said, I want to let you know, I appreciate your message today. He's like, no, thank you. And it was very brief. But it's funny because in the sermon, he was talking about like responsibility. I was like, I said, okay, so perfect time to come to church. And then that was that. So then I tried again the next year, June 2021. I was there. We're getting ready to head down to our family retreat, the Sims side, or Hawkins / Sims, and Kissimmee. And so when I was there, I was telling my first cousin, I said, I want to try to meet up with grandpa, so he'll let me come by and talk. So we had it all set up. The step grandmother, she was good with everything. And so that day came and he decided to renege. I said,
wow.
She was like, well, he said, would you mind, you know, coming on Monday? And I'm like, I don't live here. I live in Indiana. So I just can't like stay around waiting. I got to go. So I'm like, you know, I was already under the impression we're going to make this happen. So, you know, sort of cutting the story short, she was like, well, who are your people? I was like, no, you know, Desi, my Lottie, Uncle Joe. She's like, oh, I know them. I said, of course you know them. I'm like, right. No, we're together.
We're your people.
Exactly. So then. So I was like, well, next time you come, give me a call and I will set it up. All right, cool, whatever. So I said, okay. So I get on to Kissimmee, leave it alone. And so then we move on to this past trip when I went to Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
I called her before I got on the plane to head down. I think it was like maybe 4 or 5 days before. I said, hey, I'm coming down to Fort Lauderdale and I would love to see if I can meet up with grandpa. She's like, okay, well, you know, I will, I'll check, see what I can do. All right, cool. So she says, call me when you get down to Fort Lauderdale. Mm-hmm. Something I called her before I even get on the plane. So I sat at the airport.
Right.
I said, no, set me up for the okie doke. So I call her before I get on the plane. And she was like, yeah, I spoke to him. She said, he doesn't remember.
What?
I said, of course. Yeah, I said, all right. I said, well, let me tell you. I said, is he just avoiding me? I really got down to it. And I know they always respect right. your elders. I'm like, yeah, we're going to stop that right now.
Yeah, you got to be direct sometimes.
And I'm like, I'm trying to be like very cordial. And then she was like, he doesn't like, what are you expecting out of this? I said, what am I expecting out of this? I said, it's interesting how the people who ask the folks who are trying to find their family,
right,
they're getting out of it whenever the person who should have been taking the responsibility did not do so.
Hello.
So I'm like, I really just want to at least have a conversation with this man. That's all. And so she said, okay, well, she said, I don't know if he's, you know, I don't know. He could be very, you know, one, I don't like to get in his business because, you know, the past is in the past. And I hate that statement with a passion, mm-hmm. because that just, that whole responsibility and accountability thing is wrapped up into that let the past be the past thing.
Right.
Let me go to the grave with my secrets without you disturbing me. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay. I said, can you just check and see if he would have a conversation with me? She said, well, he's on the couch now. I'll talk to him. I said, well, you know, talk to him while I'm on the plane. And when I get to Fort Lauderdale, I'll give you a call. So I get to Fort Lauderdale, although I knew in my mind it was going to be no, but I said, but let me just confirm it. Because I said, if this is what's going to happen, I'm going to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's my third time. And so I said, hey, I said, you know, I got to Fort Lauderdale and I want to check and see what he was thinking. She was like, he ain't going to do it. I said, okay.
Wow.
Well, that's all I needed. But what I've taken from that is I've been trying to create relationships with my first cousins. Even though I may not ever get to this grandfather, and he may not know me as a grandson, one thing about it, what I have to realize is that it's not my responsibility to chase after the parent.
Right.
And I know with genealogy, you know, we're always trying to find like relatives to reach out to, but it's a difference whenever it's like a third cousin or fourth cousin compared to someone whose blood you share.
Right.
And who actually is the reason as to why your mother or your father
right. here. A direct line, right.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what, I also was told that there are several other children who are out there who also don't know this man. It was like, I'm no different. At least I tell myself that, but I have to remind myself, like, I know that I'm rattling the cages, as I said in the video, I'm rattling the cages where the secrets are hidden. And no one wants to do that. I just don't want it to be one of those moments where, you know, how people, they always want to tell their secrets on their deathbed. And it's like, mm-hmm. no, because I have to realize that I'm not being pumped, and I'll say this for anybody, when people forfeit the opportunity to know their family, they're missing out on a treat that they just didn't know that they actually had right. an opportunity to have. So I just know what not to do whenever I have my family.
That's what I was just getting ready to say, because you always want to build on truth, but then also for some people, they're just not ready to deal with that truth yet. Mm-mm. They're just not. And your prayer is that they will before it's too late. But if not, then you just keep working with what you have.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I've encountered a few folks, you know, I said, it's interesting. I said, this family history journey, it has a lot of happy moments that you're like, wow, I'm so glad I'm doing this. Yeah. And then in some instances, it's like, oh my gosh, is this really happening? This is not what I anticipated. Yeah. But you don't allow that to stop you or frustrate the process. You have to, once you get that call or that thing that pulls you, that's what I call it, a pulling or a drawing to do this work, you have to do it. And then you know what? You never know. Maybe something will happen that will cause that person to change. But if not, it's not going to stop you from doing what you need to do. That's and creating right. your own paper trail, even if yeah. they don't want to contribute to the information. If you know who they are, you know, yeah. you can still document it.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Very true.
So we also wanted to know, have you discovered information regarding your family that had an impact on you or that you found interesting, significant, that you would like to share with our listeners? For example, triumphs, disappointments, surprises, certain migration patterns. Also, did you discover ancestors or living relatives that share love for music as much as you do?
Yeah, funny enough. So in my journey, I did find out that Nona Hendrix is my cousin. Yeah, and we've actually spoken. So it's not like one of those things where she's like in the distance, but her sister does genealogy as well. So I was like, oh, I mean, like Patti LaBelle, Nona Hendrix?
Wow.
Yeah, and then I just found out recently, even going back towards like my fifth great grandfather and down that line on the Knight's side, that Gladys Knight is also.
Stop.
I was like,
oh, you just related to the greats. Okay.
I like that you're kind of related to the greats.
Right. Yeah. So it's just sort of funny. You just never know until you're in touch with like your, until you do stuff like this. But, you know, I've had a lot of triumphs. Like, even what I found most appreciative is that there are people who believed in this and they're willing to also do a DNA kit. So I have one.
Yeah.
My mom has one. My great uncle has one. And now I have a first cousin. I'm sorry, my great uncle's first cousin once removed, who's 95, submitting one, which should be done on April 20th. So that's going to take it back to like even the fifth and sixth generation. So it's
awesome.
That means a lot. And it's just, I always tell myself, like, once I find this, I'm good. But I'm gonna just keep going until I just.
We can tell.
So I've had several triumphs. You know, I've had disappointments, some surprises. Like one of my friends, and I posted this like a while back because we both have this interest, you know, with Screven County, and like he was on my talk show that I did at Notre Dame called Black at Indy, for we're talking about like Black educators. And so one day I was under my great uncle's, you know, DNA matches. And then I was like, Tamir, I'm like, why are you under here? And so then we started talking. He was like, eventually we found out that we were cousins. So we've been talking all these years and never knew we were cousins. So it's just one of those things where questioning, what I have to understand is that when you question these kinds of things, you have to just expect anything and everything, the good and the
bad. Yes, that's right.
But that's just the beauty of life. You know, we're all afforded another day to live. We have a plan, but something can happen, not necessarily something bad, but if rain happens, how do we adjust our plans? If it snows, how do we adjust our plans? But we make it happen one way or another. So same thing with the genealogy. It's just something that it's a privilege to be able to do this.
For sure. I have a question about these famous celebrities. I'm sorry. Did you find them through DNA or through just talking with family members? Okay.
Yeah, so talking with family members, but also through DNA. So the Gladys thing, that was, I found out I was talking to one of my cousins. She's a Prescott. And so my fourth great grandfather, I'm sorry, she's a Knight, but my fourth great grandfather was Peter Prescott. His father was James Knights. His name, but Prescott was the owner's name. So needless to say, she was on that Knights end. And so when I was speaking to her, because she lives here in Atlanta as well, you know, she was sharing some stuff with me. And I was like, wow, you just sort of never knew. And so she would tell me, like, even like going back to the as far as the African ancestry, like our tribe from based upon Grandpa Knight is the Bubi people, as far as in the Equatorial Guinea.
Okay. Yeah.
Out towards like Ghana and everything, because we're talking about like taking like a trip out there.
Wow.
I have potential to go to Ghana this summer, so I'm like looking forward to it. So what's
awesome. That's awesome.
What about location? Thinking that a family was in a certain area, what are you all spread out? Or
so what? There is one part of my family that I do know about. I know for sure I can go back to my fourth great who was on the plantation, and it was owned by William Varner out in Goose Creek, South Carolina. And then from there, then they moved to, I had some go to Barnwell, South Carolina.
Oh, Barnwell, okay.
Allendale. And so because that is like right on the other side of Screven County, which most of my family was in Sylvania, they moved from Sylvania down to Fort Lauderdale. But then I also know that in Sylvania, there was a lot of stuff that happened. And this, it gets so sticky and so muddy. Incest out the wazoo. It's like when you're doing these matches, it's hard to find out like how we are related. And sometimes you see them on the two sides of the family, but I think they were just bored. They didn't have anything else to do back then. So they were just
Lord.
It was true.
And it's the reality.
Like, I'm telling you. And then so I
or found, maybe like, they didn't know, you know. Sometimes certain communities, like I'm from Marion County, South Carolina. Everybody is related. And I tell everybody I talk to, don't marry anybody except don't marry anybody in Marion County because more than likely you are related. And that whole community thing, I believe, is referred to as endogamy, I think it is. So maybe that's what it was.
Well, we're going to pray that's what it was. some people look alike, but you know, I don't. So it's just one of those things where it's always interesting because I haven't been out to Barnwell yet. I've been to Sylvania, but I do.
I'm trying to go to Barnwell too. I got some family out in Barnwell.
Really? Who are your folks? Uh-oh, here we go.
Okay, last name is Chitty.
Chitty. Interesting.
C-H-I-T-T-Y. I know, it's a weird last name. The Chitties and, he married a lady named Fanny, and we don't know what her maiden name is, but the main last name there is Chitty. I know that I'm also like a DNA match to some Holmans, who are also my neighbors out in Barnwell, as well as some Odoms. So like Leslie Odom and... In my mind, I'm claiming Leslie Odom as a cousin.
Tell me something I don't know. Shoot. That's interesting. Now listen, Leslie is the guy. So like all of mine, like Walkers, Priesters, and Reeds, which I'm still finding out. I gotta get some more death certificates. But yeah, so that's, yeah, so Barnwell is a place. And I always wonder, how did that become a place? But then again, I guess everywhere is a place.
Right. Well, it's funny you say that because my cousin on that line, she has memories of going to Barnwell. She grew up in Georgia, so she remembers going to Barnwell because her mom was born there. And so she's like not trying to go back. She's like, listen, you and my mom can go and do your little research thing.
Yeah.
I'm over here in Hilton Head at the hotel. You call me when you're done. So, you know, she's like, nah, I'm good on Barnwell. But I'm like, you know, I feel like to do the research, if you really want to see like headstones or whatever the case may be, like you kind of have to like go there. So
you do.
Poor Barnwell, it's getting such a bad rep.
Oh gosh, I'm telling you.
So there were some photos that you shared where you were with a large gathering of family and everyone is smiling. Were you able to locate family that you didn't know about or that didn't know about you?
Oh yeah, because if I go back to, all right, so I want to go to my second great grandmother, who is Mamie Sims, and she had 12 other siblings. Their parents were Pierce Sims and Charlotte Prescott. So out of those children, there was Dewey Sims and Matthew Sims. They left Sylvania at a very early, well, I say early, like 20s or something, in their 20s, because there was an altercation with this one white man who I guess eventually died. And so when they moved to Youngstown, Ohio, they didn't really speak to the rest of the family. So over the past year, my great aunt, in 2020, when I also went down to Fort Lauderdale to try to meet my grandfather, she knew about what I was doing. She's like, she said, see if you can find out some folks about on my daddy's side, the Sims, because I never really had a chance to really talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sitting at the table, and I was documenting, just looking. I said, do you know a Mamie Sims? And she was like, yes. She was like, those are my folks. All right, cool. And I told about Uncle Dewey. She's like, yeah, I remember Uncle Dewey. So like I said, so two of them moved up to Youngstown, Ohio. The others moved down to Florida. And there are some others that we still don't know about. So when I found these people about a year ago, they were like, yeah, we never heard about y'all. Grandpa Dewey never talked about it, but they say, which I just found out another piece of the story a couple of weeks ago, whenever they moved, they felt like they needed to change their last name a little bit. So where Sims, S-I-M-S, then they tried to add S-I-M-M-S. And then later on, I saw there was this family member who dropped the S and just had Sim. So it's also crazy. So
interesting.
Yeah, so once I started telling them who I was and naming some stuff, they were like, oh, they said, you really are family. I was like, yeah. But because they never talked about it, because of their experience in Sylvania, they also never went back to Sylvania, even for their mother's funeral. They never went back because they felt like people want to be wanting them. So it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, so we're starting to become more familiar. We're starting to trade these stories. And most of the stories sound alike from the Midwest side. Now it's just like trying to gather pictures. Like that's the other challenging thing. But so it's a challenge, but it's not impossible.
Right.
Yeah. So there's like more than one person. Okay, so you're doing the research and you have a few other cousins that are doing it as well?
Yes. Now no one is doing it in depth as I am, but luckily those cousins on this side of the family, I know for sure are cousins because they do match on Ancestry. So at least any little bit of information that they can provide is helpful. But if you're looking for someone to give you like the ins and outs and getting the stories, that'll be me.
All right.
Yeah. Do you see yourself writing about your experience eventually?
I wouldn't mind it. Like what I plan on doing is, because I love documenting stuff, I really want to do at our first reunion that we have next year, where most of us are together from those 12 children, 13 children. I want to like schedule a panel like during a breakfast or something and have all of our elders come out and just speak about their experience, record it instead of like a formal session, because it's one thing to write about it, but it's another thing to hear the voices as they tell it. Because the voice captures so much, the inflections and just the pauses and the cadences in their sentence really determines how they felt about that moment.
And of course you sound like an artist and a musician, right? With all of this, you know, just like, and I'm sitting here going, oh, wow, because I'm planning our family reunion for next year. And I'm like, oh, I like that idea of a panel with the elders. Yeah, I love it.
Good. Because we need it. I mean, we've already lost so many family documents back in the past because people just didn't take care of us. So now that we have the means to do so, listen, use all of your resources because we are out here trying to find our folks.
Coming on for this, there was a family. I was in another session and there was a family that they said one of their older relatives passed away. So she went into her home, you know, she was the person that was responsible for going and cleaning up. And she said she just found all of this family history information. And it wasn't organized. So she's going through the process of organizing it. And I stressed to her, I said, once you do that, just make sure you protect it, you preserve it, because a lot of older people are passing away that do have their family history. Yeah. And the next thing you know, somebody else is going in, taking it, and it's on an auction site.
Yes. Right.
So, you know, I say this all the time, people that, oh, well, history is not important. Yes, it is. It's very important. And it's important that it stays with the family, not somebody else selling your information. Right. You know, so I like how you want to capture their voices. You're documenting your process. Yeah. Yeah. And based on your, you know, we looked at your bio and everything that you have done. I can't wait to see what you produce, because I know it's going to be amazing. So we're definitely going to stay in touch.
Yeah.
So at this moment, where are you in your genealogy journey and what's next for you as well? But then I also wanted to find out, I mean, I'm listening to you. Did you take any classes, or you just kind of been like learning the process and methodology as you go along, or?
No, just as I go along. Every time I got a no, I got redirected to another route. I just and I just asked questions. And luckily people, they know my heart. And I can say that it was rarely ever a time where I had a situation with someone where they really didn't want to share stuff. But I mean, outside of, you know, the grandfather thing, but everyone has been quite supportive of the journey.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that picture, I'm sorry, I just want to go back to that picture again. Were those all cousins?
Yes, those are all of the Sims. And then a couple others who came from South Carolina on another side, but most of them who was also in that video, yeah, they were on the Sims side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, but you know, so as far as like for the journey, like what's next? Like my thing is right now, you know, I mentioned the last name Hawkins. Like my great grandfather was Joseph Hawkins. His mother was Mamie Sims. The challenge is we've been trying to find out who his father is. Hawkins is not the biological last name, and we've been carrying this name for a long time. So it was like, so we're really close to Lewis's right now. And I think I've pinpointed who the father is. I've got to do a couple more things. So it's really interesting. And the question is, because I've even thought about this, like even for my children, like once you find out the truth, I know it's gonna be hard to go back and change your last name. Like no one's gonna do all that because you've spent so much with this last name. But my mother's biological father's last name is not Roberson, but you know, it's Ponder. And then my father, he carries his mother's last name. His mother's last name is Jenkins, but his father's last name is Williams. So I'm like, hey, nobody got their daddy last name. So what do I do?
You get to build on truth.
Yeah.
You get to document and
I don't even do. I'm like, Lord, just help me. So what I want to do with my child? So I don't know. I'll wait till
you don't have a long name where you're gonna go, okay, so we're making up for some stuff.
Right.
This is why you have five names.
Exactly. Right. You know, but it's one of those things where I don't know. I've always been told, now that you have the truth, what do you do with it? If anything, I preserve it. I share it as well too. Because the more you know, the better you can communicate with somebody else about what your reality is.
I kind of feel like you're the, you know, we always in the genealogy community, we say this, there's always this one person that's chosen in the family to do it. And I'm listening to your journey and I feel like 1,000% you're the person, like God and the ancestors says, okay, for this line, it's going to be Amorsha. That's how I feel.
I appreciate that. And you know, it's funny because my mom mentioned this. I didn't notice this until I got older, but I've always been documenting stuff, even as a kid. Like I remember she said, my mom said, well, you were young. She said, you never asked for a lot of gifts. I just asked for expensive things. I asked for a laptop. I asked for a video camera. Mm-hmm. And so I had a Sharp video camera, and I'm still getting like tapes like developed, but I was always interested with capturing things, church, family. And so I can put these things on Facebook now, which is so interesting. People are like, I haven't seen this in so many years, but I didn't know it at the time. That God was positioning me to be where I am now. So it's just, it's funny how life works out.
Sure is. It sure is. Wow, that's very cool. So, Imorja, what are some parting words that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Don't take no for an answer. If you really want it that bad, you better find a way to go get it.
Mm.
That's all I can say.
Love it.
So don't little, yet no so much. So much in there. Yeah. Well, Imorja, thank you so much for sharing with us and our listeners. Can you please let our listeners know where they can find out more about you?
Yeah, you can go to my website, imorjaroberson.com. That's E-M-O-R-J-A-R-O-B-E-R-S-O-N.com. You can find me on Facebook, on the Imorja Roberson. You can go to YouTube, Imorja Roberson. You go to Instagram, Imorja Roberson. You go to TikTok, Imorja. It's pretty consistent across the board. I love consistency. So just find me. Google me. You'll find me.
Google me. All right. Well, we thank you for joining us, and we look forward to sharing with our listeners during our next segment of Speak On It.
Yeah.
Speak On It is a podcast and is immediately available to listen to at your leisure. Thank you.